Before we get to the premiere of the Summer of Stein Big Brother podcast, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the show, and those are friends over at Digster.fm, because Digster has the best playlists for every moment, mood, and minute of your life. They are soundtracking your world with one playlist at a time. Go to Digster.fm to see what we're talking about, because whether it's the Summer of Stein or the Summer of Steve 2018, you're going to need some music to listen to this summer, and they've got great playlists based on genre and artists, and they've got a bunch of playlists that have been curated by Podcast One podcasters. You could see the Rob as a Podcast playlist when you go to digster.fm/Rob. That's digster.fm/Rob to listen to a playlist of music that are curated from some of my favorite artists like Billy Joel, Bon Jovi, Dr. Dre, Biggie Smalls. So check out digster.fm/Rob to listen to my personal playlist, and head to digster.fm to find the best mix for every moment, mood, and minute of your life. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Sisterdino here, and I could not be more excited for what we're about to do today, because it was a couple of weeks back, I got a message from one of my favorite people who said to me, hey, you want to do something crazy during this Big Brother season? And I said, you know that that is exactly what I want to be doing. And here we are. It is the Summer of Stein. Please welcome my co-host for this amazing weekly podcast, Eric Stein.
Summer of Stein 2018.
Summer of Steve 2018.
Rob, I know what you're up to here, and I'm not happy about it. I already regret texting you. Mm-hmm. Last night I was age shamed by the great diabolical super genius, mm-hmm, Matt Hoffman. And here I am. What was supposed to be an audio podcast suspiciously has turned into a video just to mock me, hasn't it?
Well, we're not live. We're not doing after the episode or anything like that. But I wanted to record the video of this because I don't know what sort of craziness we're going to capture here in the Summer of Stein. But it felt like a waste to not at least be attempting to talk about any of the visual things that are going to be certainly be going on here in the Summer of Stein. So we have video up. It's going to be on the YouTube channel at the when I post the podcast version of this, and of course the podcast feed. We will be recording these on Mondays or until Eric Stein quits, which could be next week. We don't
know. Could be an hour from now, honestly.
We might not make it through this one.
To make this as spectacular as the show itself, I wanted to make sure. I hear you're streaming on all platforms now, mm-hmm, so I wanted to bring myself up to speed. So I have opened up the AOL chat rooms. I did text location check.
Keyword, Eric Stein.
Yeah, I've got my dial-up modem going, mm-hmm, and I am ready to dive into the technology of 99, maybe even 2000 right now. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. Well, Eric, we are going to do so many different things on this podcast every single week, but I'd like to start with a email question that we got. And this is from one of our listeners, George. George writes in and says, hey, Eric and Rob, I'm a 32-year-old guy. I've been watching reality TV since the very first Survivor. I used to love the competitive aspect of it, the strategy, the comps, the social dynamics. However, over the past few years, I've gotten very tired of it. And nowadays, I just look for very easy, often lazy entertainment in my reality TV. For example, I couldn't care less for the next super fan of the game who watched 150 seasons of the game, but I absolutely love Swaggy C making a fool of himself and a robot cursing in a southern accent. I find myself barely keeping up with Survivor, which takes itself a little too seriously, but I still love shows like Big Brother, The Bachelor, 90 Day Fiancé, Are You the One? Some of these shows are targeted towards demographics really different than myself, both in age, gender, and intelligence, yet I can't stop watching. Is this normal? Is this the natural evolution of the guy in his 30s who's watched too much reality TV? I'd like to get your input. George, I think this is the podcast for you.
Here's the thing, George. I've watched almost 900 full seasons of reality TV, not episodes, seasons. And all that has done for me is landed me on this podcast. So if I were you, I might just take the veer off even further.
Yes.
Just steer off the lane entirely. But if you're insistent upon still watching this Trek, then I think that we can guide you to the places that you want to be, because we have some very, very serious topical matters to get into here.
Right. And we are not going to be breaking down the game. We probably won't do power rankings of comparing all the players up against the legends of the game in terms of strategy. But we are hoping to take every single week of Big Brother and really get down to the very most important things of the week. Right, Eric?
So I'm going to be honest, and you probably relate to this, Rob. For the first 7 to 9 years that I was off of Big Brother, I met every alumni. Mm-hmm. I took them out for a beer. I asked them about grandma. I asked them about their dog. I asked them about their roller coaster experience on the show. And we talked about, theoretically, wouldn't it be a blast if we ever landed on this thing together? Wouldn't it just be fun? We'll align. It'll be great. And now I've realized I'm never going back on this show.
No,
they do not want a decrepit, malcontent, elderly Jew on the show. It's we've gone too far. It's over for me. So the thing is, I'm over trying to mince my words. I'm over trying to scheme and align and schmooze and these things. And I'm going to do something radical here this summer. I'm going to try to actually enjoy Big Brother again. And it's been a while, I'm going to be honest,
okay,
but I'm going to try.
I'm going to
dive in full steam and just try to embrace the soap opera that is Big Brother 20.
All right. Well, you're in the right place, Eric. And I think in true Big Brother fashion, let's dive into what we're going to be talking about. Because last night on Big Brother, on the Sunday night episode, we got to see for the very first time in Big Brother 20, the introductions of the players in the full intro sequence. Are you excited about that?
Never been more excited in my entire life.
Yeah. Well, I thought it would be fun, and exactly the type of thing that we'll do on this show is to take a deep dive, a director's commentary, if you will, of the 40 seconds that are the Big Brother 20 opening credits.
All right. Do you want to let it roll in its original integrity, or should I be just rolling as it happens?
OK, well, for the people that are watching the video, they will be able to watch along with us here today. For the people who are listening to the podcast, we will need to paint the audio picture. So I have this loaded up here, the Big Brother 20 opening trailer. And what I've done here with the help of YouTube is slow it down to 0.5 speed, Eric. So now we can really discuss, turn that 40 seconds into, I think that the way it works is it'll be a full minute.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is wild.
So why don't we take a look at it and then really take a look at what the producers are trying to convey to us about this show people are about to watch and the characters, the 16 new players who we are meeting as a new viewer to the show.
I'm ready.
Okay. All right. So here we go. This is going to be without audio. So we're going to paint the picture. And then, Eric, whenever you want to stop to talk about something, just say stop and we will pause the video. Okay. So here we go. So against a blue background, we have some emojis popping up. First emoji, Eric, emoji of a HOH holding a key emoji, if you will.
Nah, not doing anything for me.
Okay. Emoji flips over into an emoji of a target with a bullseye.
I think I hooked up with her in the late 2000s.
Okay. Next emoji. We have a power of veto thumbs up emoji.
That one actually is inspiring some good game mojo from me, as Kevin would say last year. That yes. Feels like a mojo more so than an emoji. I feel like his eyes, I would trust this guy right here.
Okay, trust him. Okay, that one flips over to the showmance emoji, Eric.
whoa.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a little risque for 8 o'clock, don't you think?
Well, I mean, I think it's really basically you are getting a sense of what you are about to watch. The male emoji appears to be kissing the female emoji with the lipstick. A heart is forming.
So that's Fezzi with a very disturbed Haley in the background.
Yeah. Does the female emoji look like she is on board with this? She looks a little bit.
I do not think she consents.
A little reluctant, I think. Okay.
Yeah, that's the one eye closed.
That emoji turns into a kind of a basic emoji with a trucker hat saying BB20.
Yeah, that emoji is saying, ain't I neat? I'm just one of you fans.
Mm-hmm. Eric, what do you think about Big Brother adopting all of the emoji as a mascot for the season?
I mean, I think it's pretty fitting for the season. Why not adopt the technology of easily 7 to 10 years ago?
Yes.
So we can embrace the technological aspects of this season.
Of course. And then let's get into now. We'll start to see our players. All right. First up, Winston. Eric, could you describe the movements of Winston?
This guy, he's guarded, but I think he's confident. He looks like he may be hiding the fact that he's a doctor, possibly.
Yes, he really had nothing to do. He's like I don't know what to do with my arms. Okay, I'll just fold them over. He's got nothing going on in the intro, Winston. Okay, Bailey is up in second. She's in the red romper, and she's dancing, Eric. Check out this. She's got moves.
That's a classic maneuver. Mm-hmm. I'd say it could go somewhere between I've got a pee or I'm going out week two on the model curse.
All right. From Bailey, we transition here to Haley. Haley blowing a kiss.
That's the kiss of death. Mm. That's the games of 3 to 4 men going out of the door at the hands of Haley.
She is blowing the kiss. I believe she's also wearing the same shade of red lipstick that the lady emoji in the showmance was wearing.
Ah, yes. They're incepting into us that we should feel empowered by the emoji as well as Haley. Yes, yes. Haley is a contender, I think.
All right, Eric. Here comes Steve. Summer of Steve 2018. Mm. Watch this. This is my favorite one. So Steve is going to motion. Hey, get over here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. You. Ah, I'm just messing with you.
Well, a couple of things about Steve. One, that motion tells me that about 3 weeks from now, I'll be getting from a beer with him in the New York, New Jersey area. So that's nice. I'm glad to see Steve, you know, settling in. He's making me feel comfortable. I feel as if that's very Glenn-esque. And I happened to come across Glenn at the Big Brother 20 premiere party.
How was that?
Dark. It was great. He I don't think I should probably say this out loud, but we brokered an alliance deal for All Stars.
So you and Glenn.
He said, "Listen, baby, you're a legend, but I'm not gonna let anybody know that I know that." Mm-hmm. So yeah, they'll never see us coming. And I feel like they told him in this moment, Steve. If you've seen a few seasons, I want you to channel your inner Glenn with this one.
Yeah. You two can have an alliance with Eric Stein one day. Just don't tell anybody.
This is the old man alliance. Me, Steve, and Glenn. The end.
Yeah.
You know, not to interject too far right now, but I was watching the episode last night, and I went on an incredulous rant about how Steve is only within 1 or 2 years of us,
yeah.
Allegedly. Right. And I thought I was going to get a lot of support from the people I was watching with. I thought they were going to say, this is outrageous. He looks like he's in his mid 50s and you look like you're 18 to 22, mm-hmm. Eric. But the people I were watching with like, well, actually, he may have you by like 5 or 10 pounds, but otherwise it looks about the same to me.
You and Steve. Yeah, that's why I'm uncomfortable age shaming Steve. I really have been.
Well, it blew up in my face. I'll tell you that much.
That's why I like to go with the theory. Oh, Steve is probably like in his 50s. He's just lying to make himself sound young at 40.
I'm going to go the opposite. I'm going to say Steve is a young 33 right now. Just to make myself feel better about the feedback I got when I tried to age shame him. It did not land.
Okay. After Steve, here comes. Gives you, get out of here, you. All right, here's Tyler. He's surfing. He's hanging. He's catching a wave.
Yes. Tyler comes right out of the wiggle room and into the Summer of Stein because, dare I say it, is this Devin Pinto right in front of me right now?
Yes.
This man, I've never seen an episode of Big Brother before. I'm just surfing the waves. It's as if David Gurdon has met Frank and they had a baby together. It's mm-hmm. fantastic.
Yeah. And you think that he could be to Big Brother what Devin was on Survivor?
That is not an advantage.
Yeah, I think that's the great hope of the fan base. Although what I've seen week one is he's actually probably closer to David Gurdon than he is to Devin Pinto.
Don't give him the Gurdon curse.
He may go full Braden Baca. The week is not over yet. You know, he might toss out some words he regrets.
Brohan Sebastian Baca?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, after Tyler, here comes Casey. What's Casey up to here, Eric?
Casey's like, whoa, I went for the bell kick. I only got halfway, but as long as I don't speak all season, I'll be in the final five.
Okay, next up, here comes Rockstar. Rockstar, I like this. Rockstar, she's like smoking a fake cigarette. That's like a Virginia Slim 140. She's got like a fake cigarette, but then the fake cigarette transitions to peace sign.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit of, are we 1920? Are we 2020?
Yeah,
is this
like a
Craigslist post that they just needed a quirky girl about 30 seconds before we started filming? Because here we are. I mean, maybe that's actually the movement of, I left three kids behind, including one I birthed in January.
Whatever.
It's like, I smoke off those kids.
Peace out, family. I'm out of here.
Rockstar doesn't care.
I left the number for delivery.
If Amazon needs to deliver any diapers or breast milk, courtesy of Keisha Knight Pulliam, they know where to find me.
Okay. From Rockstar, here comes Brett. Brett's the thinking man's hacker. He points to his brain, then hands on his hips.
Whoa. That guy just won me over with that move. You know,
smart.
Most people can only pull off one singular movement. And here we are. Brett transitions from point to hips. I believe that's called standing akimbo. And that is a possible winner pick right there.
It's good. Here's Swaggy. And he's extra swaggy in his intro. He's wearing this Swaggy C shirt. He's got a jacket on. And he's got the come at me, bro.
This feels like something that was practiced during the casting process. They were like, let's just pretend theoretically you were in the opening credits. What would your Swaggy C move be? And this got me kind of wandering down a real dark path. And I was wondering who might be the swaggiest past house guest that we've ever seen before. And I actually reached out to the Twitterverse and I heard Mike Boogie season 2. I heard Dom Briones. I heard Enzo, Lawan, possibly even Keith. And I was wondering, in your estimation, who is the swaggiest of the swag that have ever stepped foot in the Big Brother house?
Swaggiest of the swag.
Possibly Kevin BB19. He's a very...
yeah, Kevin is pretty... He was pretty swaggy.
Swaggy K.
Swaggy K.
You can pronounce it the same way.
I got some emails if people wanted to know if you were going to start being Swaggy E.
Yes, Easy E.
Easy.
Leading to an untimely demise, like the late great Easy.
Yeah. Eric, do you know, does Robin Cass ask people to give me your opening credit move in the casting process?
As far as I know, she does not. She did ask me to go back to my hotel room and put on something less ugly for my final interview with CBS.
What were you wearing?
I actually had on a pink button-down shirt with a, what were those necklaces that Abercrombie and Hollister sold back in the day?
Like the rope necklace?
There were some beads, possibly, maybe a shell or two.
Like things that would be ideal for making a fake immunity necklace if you were playing Survivor.
Yeah. That's quite right, except it was very real and it was my life on the line. And she said, hey, listen, guy. You have about 30 seconds before this final CBS interview starts. But if I were you, I'd go home and change.
Put on something less ugly if you can.
It's like, I mean, we're not trying to mortify you. We're trying to get you on the show.
All right. So here comes Caitlin. Watch this. Caitlin, very mindful. She is practicing meditation. Is she channeling spirits, Eric?
Caitlin gives me a lot of vibes. She gave me the vibes of 88% of the girls I would have matched with on Bumble about 2 years ago. She tells me she could get 300,000 Instagram retweets for, I guess there aren't retweets, but, you know, shares of some sort for like a process that regenerates your skin, like a rub or a bathtub of some sort. You know, she just has that soul cleansing vibe. I could see her as having starred in my high school production of West Side Story, honestly. She's giving me a lot with this motion right here.
Yes. Well, Caitlin is from the tri-state area, Eric.
Yeah, she feels like if I was amount of years younger, I might have connected with her back in the day. But here we are just on the same great reality show together.
All right. After Caitlin, here comes Samantha. Now, look at this. Samantha is going, I guess, for her welding route. So they did not switch her out to Samantha Robot in the opening credits. But she's got like the classic we can do it thing going on here.
Yeah, this is a combination between some great American posters of the 1930s, mm-hmm. Big Tom of Survivor, and an angry Jordan Lloyd, I think.
Yeah. And this is interesting. None of her clothes in the house are really, in this vein where she's wearing like a flannel shirt that has like the sleeves ripped off. And she's like, posing with a muscle.
Yeah, this is not giving me the classic Robot Sam vibes that we've gotten so far in the house. So there's some mixed messaging on the show. This is giving me, like, we sent a casting PA down into the deep south, mm-hmm. and we said, hit every welding factory until we come back with a woman.
Come back with a lady welder.
Yes, 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 yes. And if she's ever seen an episode of Big Brother before, added bonus. You get a $5 bonus for that.
Okay, this one is kind of tough to figure. Here comes Scotty. And Scotty, he's got glasses on. And then what is he doing here? He's like putting his arms out. Like, I don't know. Is he stretching? What is that move?
I feel like that was maybe a giggling like a schoolgirl. He is rocking his trademark armbands in this. I feel like the editors of the show and the producers themselves have not really landed on Scotty's character quite yet. They're somewhere between Virgin King, Johnny Mac, Stealth Superfan, and I don't think they've really quite nailed it yet. So I think he's making the motion of, I'm not quite sure what we're trying to nail here just yet.
Right. Eric, is this like a wrestling move? I could see this like getting in the ring and then like this is like to the audience of.
Yes, this is like a Miz. Yes, he's classic his reality.
Because he's got like these armbands, like he's trying to show muscles off like Ultimate Warrior.
This is pretty similar to the shirts that we have on, like three sizes too small, where they're trying to make Scotty look like he's like, okay, big Scotty. Coming down to the Big Brother house. I don't know what I'm supposed to take away from Scotty yet, but I'm here for it, honestly.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Scotty is too much of a tweener to sort of work as a TV character where he's not like a total loser nerd that he's able to pull that off, but he's not like a cool enough to not be the nerd in the group.
Yeah, this is generally not a good space to be in. This is like the Cameron space where he's like, hey, guys, I snowboarded. I'm not a nerd. And you got to just go full Steve, full Ian, and just own the nerdish.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. I was watching an episode and I was like, Scotty, why is he running away from the girls who are trying to kiss him? And then I remembered I had like a 20-minute segment about how I had no game during my season. I was like, oh, Scotty, I'll be seeing you soon, man. I'm gonna have a nice conversation with you after the show. Because, really, people only reach out to like their archetypes at this point, right? So like I give Scotty like 24 to 48 hours before he calls me after the show.
That's what Matt Hoffman said yesterday.
Yeah, no, 100%. It used to be like, oh, people who thought they might be on All Stars or whatever. But now it's just like, hey, bro, when I was 9 years old, you inspired me to tell me one day I could be on the show.
All right.
I'm glad I've inspired a whole generation of Scotties.
Yeah, it's a whole generation. All right. This is another weird one. Here comes Fessy. Tell me, what is Fessy doing here?
I think what Fessy is saying is, yo, I was an alternate for BB-19, and casting went on a nationwide deep dive to get a more interesting Muslim character. But instead, they landed on
this
me.
This was them. This was casting looking for...
Yeah, he's like, hey, is there anybody else? Are there any unemployed people who can give up 99 days? Nope.
It's like, I'm looking for something. The sun is in my eyes. Double salute.
He's like, hey, Kacer was popular. Maybe I've got a shot. I'm not feeling it, though. I've seen 3 episodes. He's gone full Amazon, and this guy is destined to about an 8th place finish right now.
Okay. Now, here comes Rachel. Tell me, what is Rachel up to here, Eric? Here she comes in sort of like the cocktail dress.
Ah, I know exactly what she's doing.
Come here.
Like,
why?
Hey, I know Jackie from a few seasons ago, and I've gone out for drinks with James Hewling, James Ryan, Nick Starcevic, really anybody. I'm in the BB sphere right now. Does anybody have any pointers? But what you're about to see at the very last second is, ooh, I think I consulted the wrong guys.
Yeah. Eric, has a woman in a dress like that ever said to you, come here, I have to tell you something. Come here, please come this way.
That has happened about once every 5 years for the last 30 or so years. And I ran full speed away, just like Scotty did in the premiere.
Right. I think if I was in this situation, I think I would be afraid that this was some sort of undercover cop that was about to try to arrest me.
So this is no joking involved.
Which is
one
exactly
time,
the same intro as Steve had.
Yeah, I took a girl out. And I had no date planned, so I brought her to the local supermarket to walk around the aisles. And she said, this is a little dull. Why don't we go back to my bedroom? And I said, come on. You're always in your bedroom. That's boring. I want to take you out on the town. We got to do something. We can't just go back to your bedroom. And she's like, I'm sure we could find something to do. Mm-hmm. And I was like, no. I don't want to bore you like that. That's pretty much how I'd react to Rachel's hand motion right there.
Did you think that woman was an undercover cop that you were with?
It's a distinct possibility. Mm-hmm. She was actually an unwed mother at the age of 16, but nonetheless.
All right, let's go to our last couple of people. Okay, here's Angela. Angela is the only person in a bikini from the women, and she's giving us a shh. Don't tell anybody I'm the only person in my bathing suit.
I think she's telling us, I'm not going to speak on the next 10 weeks of the show.
What does she want us to not talk about?
She's trying to make us forget that she's there, I think. She's like, ooh, don't talk about the fact that I automatically dived headfirst into the Bro Alliance, even though 34 seasons of Survivor and 20 seasons of Big Brother have told me that when the popular people align, they're going to all get wiped out in the first 6 weeks.
I'm not trying to hear that. Yeah, I would love to hear like what the direction is when everybody is going through these. Like, is it sort of like do they come in with like a list of like, all right, Angela, all right, let's see one. Could you pretend to do the pole vault? Let's see that
I think
one.
What probably happens is she like does like the running man or some sort of like extreme sort of motion. And they're like, Angela, just shut up. You're hot. Just don't do anything. Just shh. Yeah. And she's like, ooh, shh.
Is there a lot of back and forth or let's try one where you're just like telling everybody, okay, shh, like, oh, you have a secret. Like, well, why am I doing that? Just try it. Let's try one that way.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's like, you know, they schmooze them and they're like, oh, yeah, that would be dumb, Angela. You don't want to do the shushing finger, but maybe we'll just do that one.
Let's just do one for fun. And if it stinks, we won't use it.
That's great. You know, it is the summer of secrets, not the summer of Steve or Stein. So let's just come on, girl.
Okay. And then here comes a fan favorite. Here is JC, and he is jumping. And he is fun and he is dancing.
Yeah, I've seen that move before. That's called the little person opening. That's the Matt Hoffman.
Oh, is that what it is?
Ian Terry, the Eric Stein. I've witnessed that many, many times before. He comes
big
from
energy.
A long line of partying little people, the Vern Troyer, the Joe C, who is Kid Rock's hype man. Yeah, I mean, no, forget big energy. This is a stereotype. Mm-hmm. This is, if you are under 5'8", you get this as your motion.
You get to jump.
Exactly.
You're jumping.
Like, jump into the screen. Jump into the shot, my friend.
Jump into the screen.
I tried this many, many times. I just pulled a hamstring when I did it, so they had to leave it on the cutting room floor.
All right. And that is the Big Brother 20 intro. Big Brother.
I don't know if you know this. I know you had an analysis of this recently on a recent News AF. I don't know if we're going GIF or GIF or where you landed on ultimately, but I have been added to the keyboard for my Carmen Sandiego opening screenshot. That's right. And I'm gonna give it to you live now, a recreation. It was contestant Eric Stein, and I went with singular gun motion.
And that is now, if you go onto Twitter and you type in the
Carmen Sandiego,
Carmen Sandiego GIF, and then you can get to see Eric Stein.
That's right. I got you, bro. Boom. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be the hashtag. We've never done a GIF hashtag. That's what we're leading towards.
Oh no.
Yeah.
What have I done? I was on the show so long ago. I didn't even get an opening montage. They tried to find.
You talking about Carmen Sandiego or Big Brother?
Big Brother. They tried to give me a humanizing moment in the opening credits. So like, it was the one time all summer I was like laughing and smiling. So I'm like, ha 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 ha, during my opening credits.
But I don't even remember what they turned
down a deep dive to find that footage.
Did they used to have video in the opening, or was it still frames flying in, like, memory wall photos?
But we had like a candid moment from inside the house, you know. So it was like, oh, look at America's boy next door, Eric. He's laughing right now.
All right. Well, Eric, the other big story going on here in week one has, of course, been the tale of Sam the Robot. A lot of people have questions for you about Sam the Robot, but do you have any thoughts on this? As somebody who's watched 900 seasons of reality TV, have you ever seen a person be forced to play as a robot before?
I'm going to give Big Brother points for creativity. Would I want to be a robot in the first 2 weeks when all of the bonding of the season goes on? Absolutely not. Would I want to be an angry, sassy robot who is mouthing off and venting to production and the other cast members? 100% not. But I do think there have been some great TV film robots in our past. And I'm going to say this could be an opportunity to climb to the upper echelon of TV and film robots. I think she's not maximizing this spot right now. I think she should full on embrace it. This could bank this woman $25,000 in week one for America's favorite robot. I mean, she should not be a sour robot. I mean, she got herself the power. Okay, I'm feeling pretty good about that. But come on, Sam, you got to dive full blown. Whoever's running Sam's Twitter account and Instagram, get the robot t-shirts going right now. That's $600 you'll never get back if you don't circulate those today.
Sam the Robot has been incredibly popular, and I agree, Eric. She needs to go full robot. Stop being a tweener like Scotty, and you need to go full robot if you want to crack that pantheon of being some of the greatest all-time, most memorable robots. And I think that you are right. I think we should get in and explore Sam the Robot versus some of pop culture's most beloved robots.
Whoa, that's wild.
That is wild. And so, Eric, let's compare and contrast Sam the Robot up against one of my all-time favorite robots. Let's check out Johnny Number 5, the robot that appeared in the films Short Circuit and Short Circuit 2. For most of the audience who probably has never heard of such films, could you describe Johnny Number 5?
Well, looking at this still shot, it looks like we're having an identity crisis, because this looks like straight out of the wardrobe of Swaggy C. Hey. I feel like I've seen that denim vest and that bandana in a couple of confessionals.
Yeah. Johnny number five was pretty swaggy. Yeah, I'm not sure why exactly he's wearing a hard hat, a denim jacket, and a neckerchief here. I guess I'm assuming he must have wandered into a construction site. The story of Johnny number five was that he was a government robot, which was part of a system. They had lasers attached to them. They were built for war, but I believe he got struck by lightning and gained consciousness. And he was alive. He was no longer a robot. He had sentience. And I think similar in some ways to Sam the robot, that there is a actual soul now embodied in Johnny number five, as opposed to Sam.
Yeah, I don't know if it was short circuit one or two, but I remember Johnny number five lamenting that all these people are fake, fake bullshit assholes. It's just classic Johnny number five. He does have the face of a pretty standard 80s robot. So that puts him like technologically about a decade or two ahead of Sam the robot. But yeah, you know, he had more emotions than your average robot. I agree, which makes it a tough time, which is, you know, pretty similar to living in the BB house.
Right. Johnny number five, he was on a quest for input.
Need input.
Yeah. Johnny number five alive. Yeah. It's yeah. Tough. I mean, I gotta say, if he came in with that same objective into the Big Brother house, a full mission of input, mm-hmm. I think he might be in better standing than Sam was right now. I can't imagine Johnny being on the block at this juncture.
It would be hard to imagine. Johnny number five had a dark side too, much like Sam, that he could end up, he would get into some fights with other inanimate objects that he would run into.
Your mama was a snowblower.
Honestly, did Caitlin not deserve that last night? If only Sam was pre-programmed with such zingers.
Right.
I feel like, I mean, I'm sure that, you know, this has to be consideration, but you would think Sam would spend a couple days with Zingbot and try and get more in the spirit of what's going on here. Because yeah. I was baffled last night. What was Caitlin thinking to come in and be so dismissive of someone who's on the block?
She's life coaching.
Yes, I know. She gave her the great advice of just shut the F up and take yeah. your nomination like a robot. And we don't want to hear it. But I mean,
stop this pity party. Get out there.
You would think in week one might not have been the best tact. But what do I know?
Yeah.
Hello, bozos.
I'm starting to think that Johnny would fit right in that.
I mean, yeah. I mean, he's somewhere in between Sam the robot and the Zingbot. So
he was roughly 30 years before his time.
Okay. Then, all right. So here's Johnny number five. How about R2-D2? Beloved R2-D2. He makes a lot of sound effects. Some people seem to understand him. I kind of feel like that R2-D2 might be faring better in the Big Brother house than Sam the robot.
Yeah, I feel like R2-D2 has a bit of an issue, though. He has a very clear bromance with C-3PO, and they're out in the open. I think they're front-running the show, and I think people are going to see them as an obvious target. Also, coming from Sam's robot perspective, she'd be bound to add like three or four letters into R2-D2, like R2-D-P-L-G-B-T-Q-P-P-E.
I'm tired of being this R2-L-D2. This is too much for me.
Which could be a problem in the house, honestly. It's an identification issue. So I feel like, coming in with a veteran's curse probably would have a target on his back. So we're going to either look at an early boot for my boy here or possibly running the house. I think there's only two possible outcomes here.
Yes. Would R2-D2 have an easier time getting around the Big Brother house than Sam the robot?
I think pretty much anybody or any robot would. Yes.
Yeah. And especially in the prequels, he had like rocket boosters he could fly around. Yes. I'm
right there with you. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about Rosie, the robot made from the Jetsons, Eric? I feel like that Rosie, while sometimes they would do something that piss her off and she would sort of lose it, I think that that might be what's going on here in this still shot. She would be good at cleaning the dishes, which is always very important. A good strategic move in the Big Brother house.
This is her opening sequence from the credits. Losing her shit on everybody. But no, I agree. I think Rosie is settling into easily like a final three, final four goat position. And I think this would be one that Sam would be wise to dive right into. This is a very underrated part, just like the sort of have-nots and the slop have become. Doing the dishes and just like not being that guy. That's a big thing in the house. I mean, there were so many fights back in my day, back in robot day, you know, like 30, 50 years ago when I was on the show. And it's not even a joke. If you were dutiful cleaner and chef and so on and so forth, yeah, that can get you a lot of good favor inside the house.
Yeah, the Shelley Moore.
Yeah, plus this pulled pretty good for Alex Ouellette when she had to do the French maid costume back on OTT, which was very much in the spirit of Rosie the Robot. So I think that there could be some really good game legs for Rosie.
Especially if Sam the Robot like could pick up a broom and, you know, even just attempt like, oh, Sam, come on, you're a robot. You don't have to clean up after us humans.
I think that there's a good possibility she will not clean up after anyone. She seems more than a little agitated after her time as a robot. Mm-hmm. I think she could be headed down a very, you see this facial expression on Rosie. I think we'll be seeing this a lot from Sam this summer.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How about the Terminator? I believe it's the T-800, the original Arnold Schwarzenegger version.
Yeah, this is your classic Big Brother badass right here. This is I've seen this face on the likes of a Pauly Calafiore. I've been menaced by this myself by a Zach Swiderski back in the day. This is your I'm ready to roll game face of Big Brother. Unfortunately, I do not think this gentleman is going to make it to the finish line.
Yes. So you think that the Terminator robot does not have the social game to be able to.
I think coming on a little strong, coming on a little hot, out of the gates, maybe going full Winston, possibly, might be in the Swaggy Alliance, possibly. But I'm not feeling as if this guy has the legs, literally or figuratively, to make it to the end game.
What about the liquid Terminator, the T-1000?
All right. I think that has a little more room to wiggle room here in the house. Yes. Can, you know, sneak into various spaces and rooms, just like Sam, listening in on some conversations we wouldn't expect. Mm-hmm. But honestly, I think at this point, I think an actual Arnold Schwarzenegger would have the best opportunity inside of the house, either robot or human, to sort of sneak through at this point.
Yeah, I also think that the T-800 has a lot of catchphrases, would be good in the diary room, would be able to do things like, hasta la vista, Julie.
I don't know. I'm going to go on a limb. I don't know what robots we're going to be discussing here, but I'm going to guess you do not have cheese of mac and cheese, Joey Tribbiani.
No, I did not.
Joe on Friends. And cheese had a... an inclination towards some inappropriate grabbing, much like someone in the house this summer.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking cheese might have a slot in the house, possibly.
Okay. Well, would fit in. All right. How about Wally, Eric? Swaggy Wally. Memory Wally, as they call him in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, I feel good about where Memory
Rock
Wally
climbing Wally
slot into it. Yeah. I think he's got a place. This is a kind, gentle soul, possibly would fit right in into the Team Yogi Alliance. Mm-hmm. What were they calling themselves last night?
I believe it was for Fute.
Yeah, Fute. I was going to say Fafu. Yes. Yeah. Fute, yes. I feel like Wally would be strongly aligned with Fute. He's a peaceful soul as far as I know him.
He'd be really good at the end of the season when there's only like three people left in the house.
Yeah, I think absolutely. I mean, I don't know. I'm looking into his eyes. I could trust this guy right here.
You could trust Wally. Okay. All right. I don't know how much you know about Lieutenant Commander Data.
I feel like he I don't know. He looks like a straight shooter, but someone who, you know, I don't know. You tell me his background, actually. Well, I'm not a big Star Trek fan myself.
So, of course, that he is a fully functioning android. That being said, that he can't use contractions. Which, you know, seems like an easy problem to fix. And then also he does not have a sense of humor. He's always struggling to try to, perfect his comedy. So I think he might fit right in the Big Brother house.
This is a, Cody the Marine recasting for 2018. This is the BB20, you know, every year when they have someone who's like really successful in the house, they like swing for the fences and try and recreate them. So he's gone full Cody. So, I mean, if this guy just sticks to the plan and no sells all of the competitions in the diary rooms, he'll be right on the Amazing Race. He'll be $1 million richer, and he'll be getting married on David Turturro's wedding celebrations about 1 month later. It's perfect.
Wow, could be huge. Could be huge. All right,
yeah, he's a breakout.
Okay, what about this is the this is the robot that's in Rocky IV.
Who's this gentleman on the recliner?
That's Rocky's friend, Pauly, not Calafiore.
Oh, so he's the butterfly to Pauly's shoulder here.
This robot really brings out like a birthday cake for Pauly.
Yeah, I'm suspicious, Rocky, of this guy. His eyes
don't
are
even want a birthday cake.
I cannot be monogamous. I'm part of the flying, traveling Calafiore family. I see beautiful women as both friends and lovers. So live your own life. I'm on an anti-bullying charity campaign. So rise up against whatever is happening in this photo right now.
I only like my birthday cake brought out by people singing Bruno Mars' Treasure.
Listen, Andy, nobody remembers you. You may have won the game, but I've been on 4 or 7 shows since then.
This guy's a clear all-star.
Yes. The robot from Rocky IV, right?
Yes. Yes. I feel like we will be seeing him in BB25 Battle of Sam and the Robot from Rocky IV versus everybody. Yes.
Eric, do you have any other robots that you think might be interesting comparisons for Sam the Robot?
Well, I do feel like Vicky, small wonder herself. Superhuman strength and a lack of human emotion.
Is she too young to play Big Brother? Can you have like a kid?
I feel like she's kind of combining the superhuman strength of, say, a Brendan Viagas with a lack of emotion like a Dr. Will. So I think she could actually be a slot in really well. I don't know if you're familiar, but on Buffy the Vampire Slayer, spoiler alert, Buffy dies at some point.
Oh, no.
Turns into the Buffy bot. And she is a proximity of the great Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I feel like Buffy Bot could be a strong candidate here as well. And of course, I think we'd be remiss to not hit on Kevin the Robot from Saved by the Bell.
Okay.
Screen is hall monitor.
Yeah, of course. Here is Kevin the Robot, great friend of Samuel Screech Powers.
And, as well as of Rob Has a Podcast.
Yes, yes. And maybe the closest comparison that we have for the actual Sam the Robot.
Yes, and he looks very dapper, like a young Kevin Schluber as well, if that's his last name.
Was that his namesake?
It's very possible. He was the inspiration. A 25-year-old BB19 Kevin was actually the mock-up for Kevin the Robot on Saved by the Bell.
Yes. What powers did, besides Screech powers, did Kevin the Robot have?
Well, he was a prolific hall monitor. He seemed to be... he actually had some Zingbot qualities back in the day. He kept Screech in check. And a well-known pervert who kept a Kelly Kapowski cutout with Zach and Screech under his bed.
Yeah. Well, Eric, okay. Well, it was a great segue into what I'd like to talk about next. Because
I can't even imagine.
Because I have been watching these alliances form. We talked about the Yoga Alliance, but there's another alliance that's in the house, the Level 6 Alliance. And I'd be surprised if it went unnoticed by you, but I feel like that this alliance bears a lot of similarities to another group of friends that I once knew. Six attractive young people that were friends that went to one high school together.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So do you see, Eric, have you noticed the similarities between the Level 6 Alliance to the Bayside 6, where in this comparison, you have Brett and you have Winston? I think that Winston is the Zach Morris of the group. Brett would be the AC Slater. They hang out with sort of like a guy who's not as cool as them. They kind of think he's sort of like a dorky loser, and that would be Tyler, who's sort of the Screech of this group. They hang out with the two attractive women that are part of the group that hang out with these guys in Rachel and Angela. You could mix and match, but I think that probably Rachel, based on the brown hair, is going to be the Kelly Kapowski of the group. I think that Angela would be your Jesse Spano. And then you have KC, who's the Lisa Turtle of the group.
Trust me, I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
These EQH meetings feel like they're right there in the mix, honestly.
Yeah.
Also, not only do they hearken to me sort of the Saved by the Bell 6, but they've also hearkened to me several great alliances that we've seen, like the Popular Kids Alliance from Survivor Karamoan.
Sure.
And the Regulators from 13, and several other alliances that only all got eliminated in the first 4 weeks of the show.
Yeah, well, I think back to Bayside High School, and you have to imagine, now we saw the story of Saved by the Bell from the first person perspective of the protagonist, but you would have to imagine, much like we've seen in every other Big Brother season and these Survivor seasons that you talk about, everybody else must have really hated the Bayside High School 6.
Yeah, you know, storytelling is only through the eyes of the storyteller, right? Mm-hmm. So if we watch the show through the Level 6 lens, then we're going to be rooting for them big time, right? Absolutely. But not so much if you're the average viewer or someone who's coming from the other side of the house, right?
Right.
Now, I'm already sensing a little bit of a elitist attitude, and I'm concerned about excluding people in a very non-bullying, non-exclusionary 2018 climate. I'm going to go out on a limb and say this might not play well with your average Big Brother 24/7 watcher.
Yeah, they will be at the bottom of jokers maybe before the end of this podcast.
Honestly, I've been wondering for the last 24 hours how Haley avoided this alliance.
I don't know. She dodged a bullet. But Eric, what I'd like to do that we have made the comparison between the Level 6 and the Bayside 6. I'd like to present you with three plot lines from Saved by the Bell, which have been interpreted through the Big Brother Level 6 alliance. And I want you to tell me which of these three scenarios might be the most likely to unfold in Big Brother 20.
I'm so here for this.
Okay. All right. These were based on plot synopses that were taken from Wikipedia Saved by the Bell episode listings. Okay.
Extremely reliable source. The Wikipedia source says that I am still dating Jessica. So.
Good. Don't change it. All right. Here is synopsis number one. When Tyler is hit by lightning, he suddenly has the ability to see into the future, which Winston and Brett use to their advantage. Winston uses Tyler's power to place a bet with Brett, including a bet that he would win the next HOH. But Tyler's power wears off before he can help Winston cheat.
I'm going to be honest. I think this is going to happen. I am not going along with the shtick. This feels right down the pipeline of Big Brother in 2018. I feel like Big Brother has gone, you know, full soap opera. We like a lot of twists and turns and drama, almost telenovela of it all. There's good guys. There's bad guys. There's surprises. I would give this on a 100% scale an 87% chance of happening in week two or three.
Yeah, because I mean, it's not the craziest thing to even happen this week. Caitlin is claiming her dead relatives are visiting her as animals in the house.
Totally understandable.
Okay. Scenario number two. Winston convinces Big Brother to fire the nerds who run the CBS.com store so that his gang can reopen it as a cool store. Unfortunately, nobody wants to buy anything. So as a scheme to attract customers, Winston and Tyler use the HOH camera to secretly take pictures of the girls in the house and to sell a Girls of Big Brother calendar. However, a professional model photographer happens to see the calendar and invites the girls for a professional photo shoot, but only Rachel is picked to go on an out-of-house visit to Paris, which leaves Winston out in the cold.
Yeah, this is a funny story. This actually happened to me in 2010. I tried to spy on the girls of the Big Brother house, and I thought I could make big bucks on eBay, you know, with a Natalie Cunnelly and a Jen DiTerno.
Chatty Natty.
Yeah. And next thing I know, off to Paris they went and making the big bucks without me. And this is not a good play for these guys. I do believe they could go to the diary room and ask for this. And I do believe that they might try and upgrade. That might be what the cloud or the upgrade power is in the app store, possibly. Like, hey, get rid of these nerds.
Get rid of the nerds that run the store.
Upgrade to, you know, an Etsy store of Big Brother calendars. But this is going to blow up in his face big time. And I think ultimately the girls may find this creepy. I think this probably happened before the feeds came on, actually. If I were these guys, I would abort mission on this one.
Okay. Can you give us on your scale of how plausible this scenario is?
Already happened. CBS burying the footage so nobody hates Brett and Winston. 100%.
Is that why Angela is telling everybody, shh, don't say anything about the calendars?
I definitely did not pose for Winston and Brett's calendar, that's for sure. And I will not be taking a week three trip home en route to my European photo shoot, that's for sure.
All right. And like, then
my outcome in this game is definitely better than Caitlin Barnaby's, I'll tell you that much.
All right. My third and final scenario. Winston and Tyler discover a secret room where the Big Brother radio station was housed.
Forget it. And let me guess, Steve is the big bopper.
The station has been pulled off the air because of Steve's antics as a police officer from back in the day on the ham radio. But the gang successfully convinces Big Brother to put the radio station back on the air. Winston becomes the main DJ. Rachel hosts Desire Hour. Tyler tells creepy stories on his mystery theater. Casey hosts the gossip segment. Angela reads the latest news. And Brett ineptly handles sports. Brett quits when he finds out that everyone thinks he's a bad sports announcer, but returns just when the gang needs him most.
If this has not already happened, I will eat my foot. This is what the Summer of Steve is all about right here. The only surprising part about this is that they did not actually coerce Dennis Haskins to come and play his own part in this.
Summer of Steve 2018.
Yeah. I mean, as we noted, Summer of Steve, he's right down our age pipeline. And he's pretty much going to channel his inner Rob C for this one. And what would you do if you were in the house? Start a radio station.
Yeah. It's coming pretty much no live doubt. From the basement.
Actually, I think this is his best chance of connecting with the youth of the Big Brother house. You know, it's funny that you should actually throw these scenarios out there, because I spent easily 2 to 4 hours last night thinking of what the 23 Jump Street plot would be. A Summer of Steve and a detective Derek Levasseur and a robot Sam all got together as a crack team of undercover cops turned high school students in the Big Brother house.
So they're going into a high school.
Wearing beanies. beanies, honestly.
They're going into a high school where beanies are acceptable.
And right, they're going undercover because this is the Big Brother house and we're on the cutting edge of society. So I figure, like, it's 2001, mm-hmm. they're going to go into a really cool reality TV show mm-hmm. and they don't want to be discovered. So they're going to consult the old pro from the first series of the movie.
Right.
Derek. In this case, Steve is going to enlist his services as a comic relief.
Derek's got out the game. He's too old for this, even though he's probably younger
and
he's
like holding his back and he's like, oh God, going to have to show them the ropes of the Big Brother house again. Right. And, then for a wacky sidekick, they bring in Sam the Robot. Obviously. Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, mayhem, pandemonium, and hijinks are ensuing in the Big Brother house.
Yeah. I mean, it's perfect that these are the two people that are on the block this week. So they go, they bond over being on the block, and then ultimately outside the house, they're working on solving crime.
And then Jonah Hill comes skipping through, and the rest is history.
All right, let's get into some of the questions that we have from the listeners. I read one up top. You can email the show, bigbrother@robhasawebsite.com. You can leave us voicemails, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail, or call in 323-282-RHAP. And let's kick things off with a voicemail that's from Brent the Shower Man. And let's talk about this.
Hey, Rob and Eric Stein. This is Brent the Shower Man. I think it's safe to say that a lot of these players are not great at playing Big Brother, but can we also agree that they're not great at naming alliances? I mean, level 6, if they add or subtract someone, are they level 5 or level 7? I guess that's okay. But Faute? What do they do if they add a 6th person? Are they Saute? This is just crazy. Why do people keep insisting on making alliances with numbers in them?
Yeah,
this is classic Brent the Shower Man right there.
Classic Shower Man.
I agree. I agree. I'm not feeling this, but I will tell you the Diary Room, they have a say in your alliance names. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, you know, when I wrote A Dinosaur to the Big Brother house, I was aligned with Dick and Danielle Donato, Jessica and myself. And we tried to make our alliance the Can for Kansas, Jew for myself, Nato for the Donatos alliance, the Canjunatos, and the Diary Room was not having it.
Yeah,
they were not interested.
In that case, that was an appropriate use of veto power in the Diary Room.
Okay, what about the BJ alliance, which was me and Jamaica, the Black Jew alliance? Also rejected by the Diary Room.
Rejected.
I'm just saying the Diary Room sometimes will dive in and direct you towards a safer path. Mm-hmm. So it's possible that they brought like 5 or 6 names.
So you feel like the Diary Room signed off on this, that it should be good enough for us.
Right. They were like, they entertained several like sexy names mm-hmm. for level 6, and then they were like, nah, there's 6 of you, how, you know, what else can we come up with?
Yeah, level 6 is kind of basic, whatever, but the Faute, you know, I don't know if we've had this issue where we have like these numbers of like, oh, it's the Sovereign 6 and you know, the Fatal 5, but it's a number. We, I think, are in uncharted territory where the number is part of an acronym, right?
I got incredibly nervous because in the early preseason press, I remember Caitlin saying she was from the New York tri-state area. Mm-hmm. And I started thinking, oh, God, is she going to start coming to our events in the future? Yeah. And then I was relieved to see she moved to LA.
She's coming back.
And I feel as if we got that as a piece more of her character development than the alliance naming per se. So I'm not sure that this is really what they landed on as a group, and more so much as what they were driving the narrative of a little bit of her lunacy, possibly. Mm-hmm.
Have we done a GoDaddy search to see if she owned Faute.com before she went into the house and was going to make the alliance Faute no matter what?
I think we'll know in week 2 when she wins HOH and brings out the Faute tank tops.
Yeah. Well, the beauty of Faute is that you could go from 5 to 4 of us to the end. Like, you have like a built in sort of like a hedge on that one.
Yeah. This is like when Mike Boogie wore his like restaurant chain on all of his T-shirts. for the summer. Like, we're going to find out in somewhere roughly about August 15th that, Faute is actually a new lounge. That's
no, it's a new essential oil that you could get from Caitlin.
it's in the Etsy store. It's I actually bought my my niece and nephew a Can't Spell America Without Eric baby onesie that you can actually still get online from some of these shops. So, I mean, listen, if Faute takes 11 years later, you can still be buying this stuff.
Eric, this is a question from Autumn Matthews talking about Faute. Wants to know, should the Faute Alliance have renamed themselves Fessy and the Rippers as a Full House tribute?
Honestly, I think they should just probably have John Stamos in the house at this point. And I think he's probably like a really strong candidate for Celebrity BB2.
Well, that would be huge.
Yeah, you think that's a big get at this point?
Yeah, you wouldn't be. We could make all the Full House jokes. He lives in a house. Have mercy. Yeah.
I watched John Stamos on TLC's Who Do You Think You Are? And it's about like going through your family tree. And he was reading through the family tree in like some sort of Greek lettering. And they were like, John, how do you feel about what you're reading? Can you read in Greek? And he goes, he looks like he puts a glass on. He goes, no. And then he's like going through the paper. He goes, ah, stomatopoulos. Yes, that I recognize. That's my forefathers. And we're like, come on, John. And then he goes, I feel like I should, I'm about ready to start a family. It's like, come on, John, you're 73 years old. Like, this is no time for this. I know I'm off on a tangent, but I'm just saying.
Would John Stamos on Celebrity Big Brother have to live in the attic?
I think so. I think if you remember from the pilot of Full House, he actually had he was actually John Cochran, who we've later seen on Survivor. And then they renamed him in later seasons.
They renamed him Cochran, or he was Cochran?
He was Cochran, yes.
I need a fact check on this. Somebody find the video.
I wouldn't trust me on that one.
Is Eric Stein trying to pull one over on us?
Who's more likely to appear on Celebrity Big Brother 2? John Cochran or John Stamos?
John Stamos.
I think it's a close call.
Very close. All right. So Fessy and the Rippers, we're in on that. We like it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think Fessy is your traditional front man. I'm not sure that Big Brother is like building their marketing around him. Do I think we'll see Fessy for the next 85 days? Probably. Yes.
This was a question that we had in the chat last night that I didn't get to. How do you think Adam Pock would fare on the Amazon crap app punishment?
Tori Spelling, if you just get me an Apple TV, I think I'd love Amazon. I am one with the fans. I threw this premiere party. Come over for a barbecue to New Jersey this summer.
I'm going to be honest. And Adam legitimately is a dear friend of mine. I was at his wedding. Adam would finish third on every single season, brother. And the only way he wouldn't finish third if he was up against a young Jerry of Big Brother 10 or possibly Victoria. But Adam, I think, is a really great Big Brother player who's going to always land in third place.
How much of a punishment would the vegan ham be for him?
I mean, that's rough. I mean, his whole branding. I don't know if you know this. He's the bacon minister now.
The bacon
he's
minister.
He's actually licensed on the internet to do bacon weddings. So I think if he was the vegan bacon minister, I think that would be a real hit to his business.
Eric, how about this question for you that I got from a couple of different people? Here's Miko in the Philippines.
Hey, Robin, Eric. This is Miko from the Philippines. I would just like to ask Eric what he thinks is worse. Not being able to play his own game as America's player or being able to play your own game, but as a robot. Like, hear your answers, more power.
Yeah. A lot of people wanted to know, Eric, would you rather be America's player or be Sam the Robot?
I don't know why you gotta do me dirty like that, Miko. Here we are in week one of the Summer of Stein.
Yep.
No one even bothered to record. This is the Summer of Eric Stein. That's a theme song.
Not yet. Hey, look, wait till next week.
I'm completely insulted. And now you're going to have to bring back some bad memories of America's player. I actually reached out to the Big Brother fans this morning because I was curious what the worst punishment in Big Brother history is. And I felt like this was up there. I mean, taking you out of the social game for 2 weeks. This is an unmitigated disaster for Sam. A little better than what Cameron, Glenn, and Jody had, but not much. Mm-hmm. She's going to be there and she's going to be sort of like flapping in the breeze. So I solicited, like, what is the worst thing that's ever happened as a punishment in Big Brother house? So I heard Ramses has to nominate himself. Not great. Especially when other people got to dress like frogs. Kind of not dissimilar from this season where you can, like, wear a tie-dye outfit or not be in the house for 2 weeks. And, you know, Britney's 2,400 goals when she was already going to be evicted came up. Danielle's solitary confinement came up. But I did get a huge preponderance of messages saying that the worst punishment in Big Brother history is the one where you were not allowed to use the veto. You were not allowed to control your known nomination. You were not allowed to target the people you wanted to target in the house. You had to climb into bed and get into lewd sexual conduct. You had to give silent treatment to the HOH. And what I was hearing from the masses is that the worst punishment in Big Brother history was, in fact, the honor of being America's player.
Yes, so, which was not even a punishment.
Not worse than being a robot. I mean, I think that if Sam were really savvy to this game, she could use this to a huge advantage and ride herself right into Adam Pott's slot in third place. I think that the likelihood that she could have a leg to stand on in this house, not great. But the likelihood that she could become a complete non-entity and get carried to the end of this game would be great. She needs to calm her temper down and just relax and enjoy robot life.
Mm-hmm.
No disassemble number 5.
Yes.
Yes. Should that be her speech on the block, Eric?
1 and 2 and 3, 4, 5.
Yeah, that's a Mambo number 5.
That's I got confused.
Nice software.
Yeah, she's going to need some titulos for the rest of the season, for sure. But I think Sam should just dive into this. It makes her completely non-threatening. She wasn't much of a threat in the first place. But I do not think this is super damning to her game. Being overlooked is really a great thing. I've said this many times through the years. If you are playing Big Brother correctly, it's not going to get you your best job in the app store. You're probably heading straight to a crap app this way. But if you want to be playing Big Brother correctly, don't appear in episodes 1 through 10. That's the main goal that for any Big Brother house guest. So if you have not spoken yet, you're on the right path for how you're going to last this summer.
So in your opinion, who's done the best job?
I mean, I think Fezzi is ready to roll. This
in the Rippers. Here it comes.
Yeah, if he was less than 6'7", he would be on his way to the final 5 right now. All right. But I mean, honestly, if you haven't heard from someone, they're down the right path.
Because we had another email about how in the near future, Big Brother decided to do an all-star season. All the greats are there. Dr. Will, Dan, Vanessa, James Hewling, and they want Big Stein back in the house. Only this time they're bringing back two classic twists, having you play as America's robot. Are you in or are we putting Chef Joe behind the controls?
Hello, I am Eric the Robot. I will be Jeff and Jordan's butler this summer. I heard that Cody and Jessica need to refresh their lemonade. Yeah, I will be a dutiful robot straight till I get eliminated at the final 3 when my old man carcass in the Summer of Stein body falls right off of the final endurance comp in under 30 seconds.
Excellent.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'd like to purport that I would not be a part of this twist, but we all know. I actually once had an extensive conversation with production, and they're like, well, what if you just got back in and you were America's player again? And I was like, guys, that's absolutely outrageous. There's no way in hell. But if you up my stipend by 15%, I'll see you then. 3 days.
Okay. Here's one from Corey B. Has a question for you, Eric.
Hey, guys. Corey B. here. So I just wanted to talk about just some blatant bias on production's part that really just makes me disappointed in the whole game. So during the first competition, they talk about the trash can, right? Like they get sent to the trash when they're deleted. And then when Casey gets a punishment, she gets the spinning wheel of death. Excuse me, not everyone uses a Mac, okay? When are we going to get some equal operating system representation here? I need it now before I lose faith in production altogether.
Okay, Eric, did you feel like that Big Brother has a Mac bias?
I mean, honestly, with the technology as hot and heavy as this season, I would think we should go full Commodore 64, possibly. Maybe an Intellivision bias, possibly.
Yeah.
I did notice I haven't appeared on the show in a few years. I think I've been being faded into the background. But in the Big Brother trash was a screen grab of my face.
Were they sending a message?
I think that they were trying to say, stop the texting, stop the calls. Listen, guy, it's over.
You're in the trash.
You're in the trash. I was next to Will and his YouTube videos. I think I saw Joe Barber in there. I'm going to be honest. I think that was a none too subtle sign. Stop contacting us. You're in the trash, buddy, along with any other computer operating systems.
Eric, Barry Johnson says, how would you rate this first week in relation to other past seasons' first weeks? Do you feel good about this season or as good as you possibly could?
I mean, does anybody feel really great about any of this at this point?
I think so. I think people are pretty excited. People are bullish.
Yeah, I guess our standards have dropped to that point, right?
Yeah.
Where wait, I learned from your podcast, Rob, that it's not good to be negative, right? You know, you're like, I need to be positive about this experience. So I'm going to put myself into that mind frame now, and I'm going to say I feel amazing about week one of Big Brother 20. I think we are on our way to a glorious summer filled with twists and turns and romance and good guys and bad guys. And no, it's going to suck just like the last three.
Summer Steve 2018.
Speaking of Steve, this is a question from Andrew. He writes, what do you guys think of Steve's smoke of choice? Newport menthol? He was smoking those like a mother humper.
Speaking of Steve, here's a question from Andrew. Yes. Well, listen, it took Evil Dake straight to the finish line on season 8. He had basically his entire luggage filled with cigarettes, right? Yeah. So it's got to be something to that, I think.
Okay, what do you think about the actual cigarettes? First of all, I think that's redundant to say Newport menthol. I believe all Newports are menthol, if I recall correctly.
I mean, if we're going old school RHAP and we want to go full Newport, Jordan Parhar and I, we covered the Newport noopsies of the OC once in 5.5-hour podcast.
Yeah,
so I'm going to give full endorsement to these cigarettes, but as surprising as this may be, as a degenerate young man as myself, I've actually never smoked a cigarette in my entire life. So I'm going to have to say no good, Steve.
No good.
You got to leave the cigarettes at home, buddy.
Leave them at home. Okay. So yeah, Newports are that's hardcore.
Unless you're Sandy Cohen. Mm-hmm. He's the head of the noopsies on the OC.
Yes. Okay. All right. Eric, and then we have one more voicemail, and I felt like that this was a very representative voicemail of the type of stuff that we're looking for on this show. And this is a voicemail that we got from Amy Jo. Here's Amy Jo. Amy Jo from Nebraska.
Hi, Robert and Eric. This is Amy Jo from Nebraska. Longtime listener, first time voicemail leaver.
She couldn't get his first time voicemail leaver. That was it. She did not call back. That was it.
He like reached out to her in the ensuing days. Like, nope. That's all I've got for you.
That was it. That was all she wanted to say.
Hi, Robert and Eric. This is Amy Jo from
excited.
Nebraska. Longtime listener, first time voicemail leaver.
It's very formal. She went full Robert on you.
It's like once she heard the word lever, that was DOA on the voicemail.
I expect to hear from Amy Jo again in the future. This is not a Hey Yo Robbio situation here.
Hey Yo Robbio, that's it. Yeah, even Kellen called back over and over again with the same message until we finally played it.
I think it's pretty clear that this woman will be on season 22 of Big Brother.
Maybe could she call back as a robot?
Exactly.
Okay.
I wouldn't be surprised, honestly, if Sam is calling us in about 3 weeks.
Yes, we'll have her as the third co-host of the Summer of Stein podcast.
I mean, honestly, I've already reached out to Summer of Steve's agent to book the week 3 interview. So.
Summer of Steve 2018.
All right. Eric, what else is there?
Well, I was wondering, actually, what your nickname would be inside of the Big Brother house, right? You know, we've got Swaggy C and Eazy-E. Where does Rob C fit into this picture?
Maybe do I have to go back to my Kellen nickname of Robbio?
Yeah, I think Hey-O Robbio.
Confusing.
What would, and what would be the opening video hand gesture that goes with Hey-O Robbio?
Boy, I don't know. What would yours be? Finger gun?
Do it, Rockapella.
Do it. I don't know. I feel like I have like a fake microphone. Like,
yeah. Coming to you live from the Big Brother house this summer.
Yes.
One thing I actually think is interesting is that we're shaping up to have about 7 final 3 goats this season.
Yeah.
You could see Summer of Steve, Robot Sam, JC all coasting to the end. So who is going to take the coveted Jerry, Adam, Pock, Victoria position in the house? Who is getting dragged to that final HOH to die on the final endurance challenge?
Yeah.
And cut at the final line here.
So are you saying that we need to have some sort of a third place draft right now?
I think so. I think we should clarify who is in it for the long haul, but yet with no chance of winning whatsoever.
Okay.
Because I know the LFC draft has gone completely off the rails already. I heard that Winston was an overall first round pick. So
yeah,
that's not going strong.
Okay. All right. Real quick before we wrap this up. Okay. Snake draft, third place. We're drafting for third place. Eric, who, no, but why is the third placer getting cut?
They're getting cut because they suck. The third place, notoriously, if you really think about it, is Christmas. Reserved for people who have truly broken legs over the age of 70.
Yes. Final three competition winner is normally is sometimes inept and then doesn't realize that the person that they're leaving by the wayside had no chance to win also.
Right. It's the person who should be finishing in second place, but so often gets left in third place. Okay. That's the criteria.
All right, Eric, you have the first pick.
Boy. All right. I feel like JC is going to cause a little too much mayhem to be dragged to the end. And I feel like a despondent and depressed Robot Sam.
Robot Sam.
Number one pick for finishing in third place this summer.
Give me Angela Rockstar.
Whoa, okay. You don't think she's a physical threat?
No.
All right. Well,
hold on, snake trap.
Yeah, I have a few more picks, trust me.
Okay.
Oh shit. Yeah, you're coming back. Excuse me.
Coming back to me. Okay. All right. So now that Rockstar is off the board, I will go with how about KC.
Oof.
Solid number.
That's an almost definite. If I had to literally bet my internal organs on a jury member,
yeah,
KC is in the mix.
Okay.
What's the likelihood she ruffles any feathers or is on anyone's radar? Yeah. But
are we talking about Grandpa Lou?
Yeah. As much as I'd like to see Grandpa Lou or Steve on the Summer of Stein, Summer of Steve podcast, get the soundboard ready, because the number 4 pick, Summer of Steve 2018.
Summer of Steve.
Summer of Steve 2018.
The thing is, notoriously, if you can survive the week 1 target, you go back to the end of the line here in Big Brother. You know, people kind of reorganize their thought process. And I mean, even if he doesn't save himself, even if the big powers of the Big Brother app store save him, I think we could see Steve in for the long haul at this point. So I'm feeling Summer Steve at this point.
Okay, Eric, you have one more pick.
If I knew more than those four names, this would be less challenging, but I'm going to rack my brain and see if I can produce one more. And I'm going to have to go with Scotty. Beam me up, Scotty.
Give Scotty. Okay. I'm so excited that my pick fell to me. Eric, I am going to go with none other than the jumping bean himself. Give me JC in the final three. Yeah.
I feel like in modern Big Brother, that's a risk right here. I feel like JC channels many of Josh's best qualities.
You would think we're looking at the winner.
Yes, I think Josh had a very nimble move in his opening credits, just like this. And I agree, his channeling is fiery Miami side. And I just think if you run the risk of dragging JC to the final three, it's at your own peril at this point.
That's like they're going to cut him. They're going to cut him. You can't let him get to the final two.
I mean, I'm going to ask you this because you're a historian of these things. Is it possible that JC and the robot go down in the annals of Big Brother history as the greatest showmans we've ever seen?
It'll be up there, but I think the robot will be gone after this week. But I do think that we could see JC and the robot on a future Amazing Race season.
Much like the Saboteur, Annie may have been gone, but the Saboteur was not. Yes. Don't you think there's a strong possibility that we will see a week 8 robot? And if so, who do you think America, not production, might have as the robot come week 8?
Scotty.
Yeah. I think you could get down for that.
Yeah. Now, Eric, do you feel like it would be weird? Is JC attracted to Sam's personality in the robot, or is he physically attracted to the robot and it doesn't matter what personality is in there? A little Black Mirror.
Yeah, that's a tangled web, very meta of you. But I'm thinking whoever's inside the robot has his heart at this point.
Mm-hmm. Really? Well, it could be very interesting where if hypothetically, let's say Bailey gets voted into the robot by America, this could create a very tangled love triangle between JC, Bailey, and Swaggy C, where JC is physically attracted to the robot, where Swaggy C is attracted to the person controlling the robot.
Yeah, I would love to see that play out in the house, but the only problem is Swaggy C is on the Jeremy Maguire trajectory of the house. He's going to accuse someone, or someone will accuse him of drinking the last sip of wine in roughly 3.2 days from now. And I don't see this ending well for him. I don't know. As was pointed out in last night's episode, the guy often goes home first in the show, man. You know,
he knew. Okay. Eric Stein, here we are. Okay. We're taking your questions. BigBrother@robiswebsite.com. We're taking your voicemails. robiswebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. Eric Stein tweet, real Eric Stein on Twitter. What are you these days?
Who knows? No, honestly. Nobody knows. Who knows? I just made it. Just in the inception of Big Brother 20, in the days upon us, have reached 10,000 followers. So I'm officially at about one third of most of the first boots of these seasons.
Now you got a little late on the Twitter follower gold rush.
Yeah, whose fault is that?
Not me.
Yeah, nice to back away from it. I remember a late breaking news story about my joining Twitter.
Well, so if you would have joined it when I first told you to join it, you would have been good.
Yeah, but that's when I was trying to disguise how much I knew about Big Brother.
Okay.
It's too late now. It's too late. I've missed the boat. Also, I know we already did the third place draft, but real quick, and I do not have the list in front of me, how many people can you disqualify at this very moment from the winner's list? Because I believe that sometimes calculating the winner is really just as easy as eliminating the losers. So how many people have screwed this so badly in week one already that they have literally no conceivable chance of winning this game in the end? And I know Josh opened this up to us, but I'm going to be honest. Most of these people are really up a creek without a paddle.
All right, so let's rattle off. Who can win?
I'm gonna need a cast list in front of me.
Okay. So right, here, I'll give you. You tell me.
Shout out the name.
Luckily, here we go. We have a very easy way to do this, Eric, because I have right here a great cast list courtesy of our friends over on YouTube.
Actually, a Taryn come in. And he's sitting on the couch next to me, and he's whispering this information in my ear. So I'm ready to go.
All right, here we go. All right. Winston.
No. How do you vote?
No. Bailey.
That's a hard no.
I think we can't put her on the can't win list yet. She hasn't done anything disqualifying.
Yeah. Well, I'll see you in 5 weeks on that one.
Okay. Let's not confuse likely with to win or win.
No, I'm giving the facts of 19 plus and online.
All right, you're the expert. You're the expert.
Who might win? And I'm sorry to say, I'd like to see Bailey have a chance. Bailey's out of this.
Sorry. Haley.
I think she's in the mix still.
In the mix. Okay.
Although there is nothing like a Fezzy scorn, so that could be tough for her in the upcoming days.
Okay. Steve.
It's a pass.
Summer of Steve 2018.
It. Yeah, I mean, realistically,
get out of here.
The Summer of Steve 2018 probably consists of getting a Guinness with me and Adam Pock in about 4 weeks.
Okay. Tyler.
He's in contention still.
He's in the mix.
holding strong. Although I honestly think the fans want to believe the Tyler narrative more than he's driving it himself at this point.
Fair enough. Perception is reality.
We're all on board the like, hey, Tyler's got more going on than he says he does. But just because you watched an episode does not make that true.
All right. Casey.
Ooh, I'm already regretting my third place draft. I should have grabbed her. Nah. I don't see any power moves in her future. She's out.
Yeah. It's a half kick is her power move.
Yes.
Okay. Rockstar.
Oof. Oof. Gonna
Brett.
Say no.
How about Brett? Brett out? You're out on Brett too?
Actually, I'm gonna ride in recent Big Brother.
Mm-hmm.
I could get myself to like a Corey win or something along those lines. And since Winston has seemingly usurped Brett in the bro situation of it all, I'm going to say Brett, if he loses his allies in the worst, like first, like 7 weeks,
he could survive.
Kind of be left behind. So I'm going to say he's not 100% out. He's just mostly
out. He could walk away from the car wreck. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not seeing the approach he gets to the end, but I'm not going to kill him just yet. How do you feel about that?
That's fine. I like it. Okay. All right. Cause he's smart and he can hold his hips. Okay. Swaggy C.
Oof. Most likely to be in a Twitter war with Parker DeLon in week 4.
Oh, you think so? We're going to be in the Twitter war with Parker.
I like Swaggy. I like his energy. I like his commitment to the game. I do not like his chances of winning.
No, he'll be fired up on Twitter. He'll be, going back and forth with the haters.
Yeah, I think you will have at least 3 unreturned messages from your interns to him to see if he'll swing by the podcast at some point, but I don't see him winning.
Yeah, Swaggy's going to mix it up on social media.
Yeah.
Okay. Caitlin.
Well, I do know that you have a reputation of listening to some self-help audiobooks. So I do see her landing in your studios.
Yes.
I don't know how Nicole is going to feel about all this, but I do see her in your home at some point in the next 6 months.
Do I see her
winning Big Brother 20? Probably
not. She lives in the area. Yeah.
Yeah. Possibly a new live-in au pair for you in the future.
Does she babysit?
Well, she's going to need the cash, so probably.
Okay. But you're out on her as a winner.
I'm not feeling.
Okay. Samantha.
I got to say, she's still in the mix for me.
Oh, real? As a winner?
I think she has a potential comeback path. Bare minimum, we saw Jordan make it to the end and sitting against a less likable Final Two member. But she seems like she might have a little bit of savage in her.
Oh.
So I think if she can go back to the end of the line at the end of week 1 or after she powers up, you know, maybe she can go from small Mario to Big Mario. And then that gets her an additional 2 lives in her video gaming universe, and she can get shrunk down again, take a little hit, and still make it to the end of this. You know, maybe she'll hit a star power from America later on, kind of like, you know, zoom through like 2 or 3 weeks of the game. I think through America's support, we cannot rule her out just yet.
Okay, she can will continue to win powers, you think?
Well, she'll definitely have the power of production on her side. So I think that that gives her at least a couple weeks of hosting.
Yeah,
that's right.
Okay. All right. How about Scotty?
Boy, I'm going to start hitting up Scotty's siblings, his family, a couple other people. I mean, we know what happened to Steve and Ian in week one. They got buried in the edit. Mm-hmm. Oh, what is this weirdo doing, kicking himself in the head? Why is he sleeping under the hammock? And you know, he's gone full Amazon out there. Scotty did not even get that as an edit yet.
Yeah.
And I don't think they quite know what Scotty's going to bring to the house. The likelihood someone wastes an HOH on Scotty is incumbent on Scotty being so deranged that he puts himself on the block, which I think he knows more than well enough to know not to do. And I'd like to think, you'd like to think someone has seen, even in Sequester, that the 16 and 19 tapes they may have watched would tell them, get rid of Scotty. But alas.
Right.
Those characters did not do well on season 16 and 19.
Uh-huh.
So the likelihood of Scotty going home early is fully incumbent on his own behavior. And if he can keep it contained, Scotty will be there collecting easily $12,000 of stipend by the end of this summer.
Good for Scotty. Yeah, I think Scotty has a little more Johnny Mack in him than Steve.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a distinct possibility he grew this goatee just for the show.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him de-virginize once he hits the charity circuit in a couple of weeks after the season.
Wow.
I think this guy's got some chops. I like Scotty. I like what he's doing here. I think he's holding his own socially. Well, I think he's squarely in the mix based on previous history.
Well, let me ask you this question. Do you think that he is lying about being a 26-year-old virgin?
I'd say no, because CBS really loves their archetypes. And I feel like he's, you know, I think like,
that would be a brilliant move in casting, where I'm not saying that this guy is Don Juan over here, but you don't think that he could potentially be like, oh, I'm 26, never kissed a girl.
He's gone full like Dan Giesling, and in the casting process,
right,
he's supported certain political beliefs or sexual beliefs that are not real. Yeah. I mean, honestly,
I mean, is that a good move?
It's Scotty. I like it. I would think he'd have a more duplicitous hand motion in his opening segment if he was up to such things. Also, and I will say this, and yes,
what's the hand motion for? I'm telling people I'm a virgin, but I'm not.
slitting your throat. I don't know. I must say, and listen, some people have committed to their characters really hardcore, but Scotty showed a lot of restraint to run full speed from the ladies of the house.
Mm-hmm.
If that is not true to his actual form. So
no, but the real person who was the 26-year-old virgin, I don't think would like that's the action of a man who's pretending to be a 26-year-old virgin.
All right. I mean, I think this will bear fruit ultimately later in the season. We will find out what the ultimate outcome of this is. I'm going to go full virgin, though.
Okay. All right.
But possible winner.
Winner. Okay. All right. And then Fessy, we'll keep going. Okay. Rachel.
Yeah. Fessy, we don't need to discuss.
We need to stop that.
It's hard to say. I do not like what I've seen of Rachel in the edited episodes so far, but she is a legit super fan. She has a comedic background. I do think that Rachel could be one of those people who's left standing after the dust settles from her alliance. She does not seem like she's going to be the fall person for her alliance. I'm going to keep Rachel in the mix.
Okay, keep her in the mix. All right. And then we have, here's Angela.
God, no.
No. And
I've never seen Angela with nope.
He's not gonna be doing the JC dance.
This is concerning though, right? He's the end of the cast list, right? So I've landed on what? Haley, Sam, Tyler, Scotty, and Rachel.
Generous to Sam.
Possible winners.
Yeah.
But that's not feeling like a super strong core, right? That we're building the season around. I mean, is there anybody in the mix you feel like I may have left out here?
I feel like Bailey. I feel you were a little hard on Bailey.
All right. I don't like her positioning in the early showmans. I'm not feeling strong about that. She seems a little bit on the opinionated side, which normally does not suit you well. Like, I like Bailey's position as being a fun character. Making it to the end, I'm not loving right now.
All right, but look, in the kingdom of the blind, there could be a few one-eyed kings.
It's very true. I mean,
you know, this isn't like Big Brother 16 where Derek is like running circles. Like, who is the Derek this season?
Yeah, I think that's part of the fun of the season, and it makes me excited for it. I mean, last year, I don't think anyone at this point in time, as he's stealing the golden nugget or whatever in the world it was that he took, anyone had Josh earmarked as a potential winner of the season. So I think we now live in a Big Brother world where anything is possible. So expect the unexpected has actually been expanded out to the potential winner of the season. Yeah, so who knows?
It would be funny to have like, who is the alumni? Like, where is like the, if you were going to put the dividing line of the alumni that would be able to come into this house and be a God level player in the Big Brother.
I think we're about Jason BB19 as someone who could just completely run the thing. I mean, let's be happy that they didn't dust off Alex Au for this, because she'd be coasting straight to the finale.
Oh my, Queen Alex. Oh my God, best player of all time. Dominant.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility we'll be seeing both of them later this summer. So,
to come in. All right.
Yeah, who knows? That's possibly what the cloud app means. Who even knows?
Yeah.
Cloud's just Jason and Alex back in the game.
Eric, remember we were wrapping up this podcast half an hour ago?
I don't. I stroked out at that point. I apologize. Right.
Eric, such a joy to get to a podcast with you. I hope that we'll get positive feedback and you won't quit during the week and cancel the rest of the Summer of Stein.
Well, I will say this. I still believe that Jason should have been the winner of BBOTT.
Okay. All right. You were doing so
here
good.
Comes the hate.
You were doing so good. You were doing so good. Okay.
I know. Eric. I know. I bring.
We're not going to talk about that.
The dog on Instagram right now, but he's fast asleep by my foot. So.
Okay. All right. Anything else you want to mention before we sign off for the week? We'll come back again next Monday to do it again.
I'd like to ask you what you think my headspace was when I texted you to say that this was a good idea, because I can't get myself there anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. You said that you thought it would be fun. And I think that we had a lot of fun. We didn't get too in the weeds on strategy or live feeds or anything.
This is my speed. This is exactly what I need right now. I've left the strategy behind. It's caused me too much agita. I've invested too much money in Tums in my days, and I'm leaving the strategy of Big Brother behind, and I'm going to try to watch the season as someone who actually likes the show.
Yeah. And who knows? We'll have games. We'll have more fun. We'll, probably talk about a bunch of other pop culture references that only old people understand now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, guys, if you're on the verge of Summer Steve's age, this is the pop culture references for you.
Yeah.
You know, I really, but seriously, last night I was like, oh, guys, don't you think this is outrageous that this guy's claiming to be my age? And everyone I was with is like, well,
yeah, I could see
it.
Yeah.
I think you're pretty much his speed guy. It's good.
All right. Well, so much fun. Here's what's coming up next. Of course, I'll have a news that you blew me away when you said you will listen to News AF.
No, I didn't listen to it. I just saw the headline.
You saw the headline. Yeah. That's right. Okay. That's thanks for bringing me back down to earth. Yeah. News AF is going to be on Tuesday on RHAP. LFC Roundtable. Of course, plenty of strategy talk there. Stock watch and more. Of course, Wednesday night, I will have a rare night off from the podcast, 4th of July. I'm roped into taking my family to go see fireworks, but Taryn Armstrong will be holding it down. Wednesday night, I'll be back Thursday night for eviction night, quote unquote. How do you think it's going to go down on Thursday?
Halting hex rise, eviction night dies.
What, if it gets found out that should they flush her advantage on Thursday?
I mean, I think that that's a high level of strategy that we here at the podcast might conceive. I don't think that's going down in the Big Brother house.
I
think there's ways you could use it to our advantage. And
what are you rooting for? Are you rooting for them both to stay?
I don't really see why they're trying to eliminate her in the first place. I mean, doesn't this go against conventional wisdom that somebody who has no relationships in the house should be your target in week one as, like, you know, collateral damage? I'm not a big fan of that. But I get it. Big Brother is a really long haul. Although, I hate when people throw back to their own season. But, you know, on my season, we sent home our first evicted because she told us that she had a barbecue to get to in mid-August. And we told her, hey, listen, girl, you know, like the season goes to late September, right? And she's like, I know. My family reunion's happening in August. And not for nothing, there's at least a small handful of people that want to actually be there. And that's a surefire way to go home. So maybe it's easy for them to reconcile. Like, hey, Sam's not a person. She's a robot. She has no feelings. We can send her home. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a waste of an HOH to me. So I am seeing this as ultimately a wash or coming around Steve's direction by the time all is said and done.
Okay, we'll see. I hope they all stay. I'm fine with this group.
I agree. Let's let the magic happen.
More people, more fun. I'm fine with it. Okay. All right, Eric Stein, thank you so much. Looking forward to getting back into it next week for more nonsense. Be a part of the RHAP community. Check out our Patreon page, robhasawebsite.com/patron for that. All of the behind the scenes bonus shows as well. Rob has a website.com/patron. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.